All right, welcome to part one of a brand new series we've titled Uncommon. And let me say right here, welcome to those who are joining us online. We're so glad to have our online campus. Can you give a heartfelt welcome to all those who join us by way of technology? We're so glad you're here today. Got some people even contacted me this morning and said, I'm not going to be able to be with you physically, but we'll be there online. So welcome. We're so honored to have you here today. Want to jump right into this this series and just really believe this is going to make a difference in many people's lives. It's going to be life-giving. If you are having any difficulty in relationships, and a lot of times relationships can be difficult, you know why that is, because there's some difficult people out there, right? And so and this would also tie into marriage. It'll tie into parenting. It'll tie into your friendships with people around you. It may help you in future relationships with, as some of you single people are looking to get married as well. It's going to be really across the board, all about relationships for this entire month. I do want to do something a little bit differently. Now, if you've noticed some of my style of preaching, and that is that when we do a series, I will usually each week recap what happened the week before as we go. I just kind of packing it in for you. And once we have closed out a series, that's that series done, and we go into a new series. I want this morning to go back just slightly into the series that we just closed out. And I want to borrow a couple of scriptures from those. I'm going to tie that in, and I believe you'll see why, to what we're doing. We're going to use one that I actually shared with you last week that's going to become our theme scripture for this five-part series that we're doing. We're going to end on the first Sunday of March with a series. You don't want to miss any of these. It's going to be incredible. Not because I'm incredible, because God's Word's incredible. Amen. We're getting that straight. And so, but I want to go back for just a moment to a scripture that we used in our theme scripture for the last series. It's found in 2 Timothy. This is not in your notes. It's in your notes from before, okay, a couple weeks ago. But in this scripture, it says this: in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And so we've been talking about this year in 2019, how we all want to become vessels of honor. It goes to verse 21 and says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, so there's some cleansing for our cleansing of ourselves. There's some part in that we play. When we come to Jesus, he's the one that cleanses us. We can't do that ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. Nothing that we add to it. It's not by works that we are saved, but by grace, his unmerited favor alone. Nothing we can add or take to that or take away from that. But once we come to Christ, there's a cleansing. There's some cleansing things that we need to do. There's some separating. There's some work for us to do. And it says, so if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. So in other words, we're not going to live dishonorable lives. We're going to live honorable lives. So we're vessels of honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Now prepared. So we're set apart. We're special. We're fine china. We're vessels of honor, prepared for every good work. So we become instruments of honor. Now, as I presented the scripture or the message last Sunday, we didn't really focus so much on this theme verse, but I want to mention this talks about what can happen, how we can become vessels of honor. Now, that says that's the what. The next verse, or verse 22, gives us the how that happens. And we took our four-part series last month to focus on this, and that is that we flee youthful lust. So there's some things we need to separate ourselves from. We talked about cleaning out the box last week, right, everybody? Separate ourselves, cleanse ourselves, and then it says, but pursue, and there's four things to pursue. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I gave you action steps for three of those: righteousness, faith, love, peace. I didn't emphasize last week, and I just want to tag this, just kind of tie the knot and make sure all that's good and done for you in your series, especially for you note takers. If you're like me, you're like, but you didn't. When I was a child growing up, if a preacher told a story and he kind of went off on the rabbit trails like we like to do, but never came back to the original story and finished it, walking home with my mom hand in hand across the street from our church, I'd say, he didn't finish the story. I wanted him to finish the story. So I want to give you what needs to happen for that peace part. I want you to experience peace. But it ties very much in to this series. So I want us to break it down. First of all, in the first week, we're talking about what to pursue and then the action step. And we talked about pursuing righteousness, and that means that we're pursuing God. The action step in that is that we are to pray. And we spent 21 days set aside for prayer. And in that prayer, what happens is when we pray, that means that we're surrendering to God. That's where it all begins. We open up our heart, we pray, we invite Him to come in, we surrender to Him. The next step, part two of that, was that we pursue faith, right? This is what we do. We pursue faith. And we talked about, it's not just faith in anything, but it's faith in God's Word. And that means really we're following Jesus. That's really what that means. To follow the Word means to follow, or follow Jesus means to follow the Word. So we're going to read God's Word. That's the action step. We're going to get God's Word in our life, and we're going to follow it. Step three of that was that we are to pursue love. And we talked about how that means others. We're to love others, and so we're to honor others. So we're honoring others, and we go intentionally. Our action step was go. Remember, it was go, and that was we were going to have intentional honor. So we're doing that intentionally. So this part I need to tag on to that, and that is step four in that process. So there's four things that we pursue: righteousness, faith, love, and then peace. And so last week was a little bit different, so I want to make sure you understand that means that what we really talked about last week was holiness. Y'all realize that. You heard a holiness message last week. If you missed that, go back online and listen to that. And it's that our vessel, this box that we're in, needs to be clean and empty for God to be able to fill it, then to begin to use it for His glory. So it was a message about peace. And the action step there is to be filled, to be filled. We surrender our life to be filled by His Holy Spirit and allow Him. So that means that we want to be clean and we want to be empty. So we can't fill ourselves, but we present to God our bodies to be clean, to be empty, to be open to Him so He can come in and fill us and do a work in us so that then He can do a work through us. And along with that, in the end of that message, I shared this scripture. And this scripture I'm about to share with you is actually going to become the scripture for the theme of this next series, and that is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I've got it in your message notes there that you can follow along with there and also online from Romans chapter 12. I've got it in the message, but I want to give it to you first in the New King James Version that says this. This is the version I know. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable. And verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's going to be some transformation that happens. I'm believing in this series there's going to be some transformation that is going to happen, because what we're talking about, we're not just talking about behavior modification. And when we're talking about our relationships, what we're talking about is something has to happen on the inside. And when something transforms on the inside of us, it's going to change everything on the outside. Can I get an amen right there? In other words, when we connect with the eternal and He does something internal, it's going to affect the external. Oh, come on, and it's going to mean everything for the eternal. Amen, everybody? That's just how God designs it. And so I want to give you this in a very friendly version that's found in the Message version. I heard a comedian, Tim Hawkins, say that this version, you can find out how to make Rice Krispie treats in the Message version. I'm just, you know, a little humor. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in the Message really makes it simple. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking all around life, going to the job, going to the grocery store, going to church, doing life, and all that you're doing, right? And place it before God as an offering. So our life, our bodies, everything we're doing, what we're doing in our life, it's all to God as an offering. And it says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. And so, and then he says, but don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So when you look around you and you see relationships that aren't necessarily healthy and people responding in different ways at church or even on your job or people, you know, in the marketplace, wherever you are, at school, in the classroom, and you see people reacting certain ways and their response is a certain way, make sure that you're not falling into that and following their model and living your life in that way. Make sure you don't end up on the Jerry Springer show. Is that thing still around? I don't know. Make sure, you know, you're not just looking at social media and you're letting that, you're adapting that model and you're following that mode of communication in your relationships, right? So be careful with that. Goes on to say, instead, fix your attention on God. Can I repeat that? Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Next. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So again, we're going to talk about relationships. And for some of us, we don't necessarily have a healthy relationships and we don't really know what that looks like because we're living in a world filled with unhealthy relationships. And so for some of us, we need to hit the reset button on relationships and on our marriage, perhaps in our parenting. Maybe we need to hit the reset button when it comes to dealing with difficult people. And so how do we have relationships? The question is, how do we have relationships God's way? Not the world's way, but how do we have relationships God's way? And so we're going to talk about an uncommon love, not just how everybody else does love, but an uncommon love. How do we experience an exceptional and uncommon love? Again, we're approaching February the 14th, right? Today is February the 3rd. Now, you'd think I'd bring a message like this one, this installment, next week, but I'm going to give us all a lot of advance notice ahead of time. Guys, I'm helping you out now. I'm helping a brother out. Valentine's Day is coming. And so this is going to be a lot of red in this month. There's going to be a lot of hearts. There's going to be a lot of flowers flowing. You know, you don't want your wife's at work that the co-worker gets the flowers and your wife's standing there going, that's nice. You know, I heard about one guy who his wife said, let's just don't do anything for Valentine's this year. Let's just keep it simple. I don't want to do anything really. And so they both agreed, you know, so what happened was he believed her. He believed her. He believed she meant that. So he comes home, worked late, regular day, comes home late, he gets there, and when he walks in, what does he find? He finds a gift, and he finds a card, and he's like, no, you told me we weren't, and he was empty-handed. So I'm just saying, you need to make sure you do what you need to do for Valentine's Day, and you need to be ready. So I'm getting us ready, you know, get the card, get the flowers, get the candy, it all works, you know, I mean, go all in, go all out. I know, I remember I got caught one time, I sent my wife, it was a text, and it was like an emoji kind of thing, you know, I love you kind of heart thing, and somebody told me, Pastor Theron, you got to do better than that. You got to do better than, it's got to be something she could touch. Now, my folks, they've been married, I don't know, 64, 60-something, 65, 66 years, I don't know. They're at the stage where they go to the store, and they get the card, and they pick it up. They find one they like in the store, and they're both there, and they switch cards, and they really, thank you, sweetheart, and then they put it back. I don't know if you want to try that or not, but flowers work, candy works. You know, the heart-shaped candy box, that works. Get you a song. Just come on. Today's going to be practical, okay? We're back on the friendly side of the pool, and we're going to make it practical, something you can take out of here and implement in your life. I'm just telling you, get you a song. Me and my wife have a song. You know, we got a movie we do. I don't know. We hadn't done it in a long time, but our first movie we went and saw was Romancing the Stone. I'm not sure if I recommend the movie, but we went and saw the movie. And I kind of, you know, being the corny guy I am, her middle name at that point was Dawn. I said, I'm romancing the Dawn. But some of you need to get back to some romancing. You need to romance, need to romance, get back into that, get back to dating, get back to courting again. Get you a song. Our song was Chicago, you know, by Chicago. You're my inspiration. You bring feeling to my life. You're my inspiration. Don't you know that it's plain to see? We're so in love when we're together. There she is. I'm romancing her right now. Romance her. Come on, love. She's fan. She's over here fanning herself right now. See, it works, man. It works. I heard of one guy who was trying to get things ready, and he said, I'm doing this. I'm in a relationship now. I got the flowers. I got the heart-shaped candy. I went to Rite Aid, and I blew it up. I got 8 cards, you know. I mean, and he said, well, I got to get me a song. Got me a song. So he finally got him a song. He said, I got a song. It's from Michael Bolton, When a Man Loves a Woman. Shut your mouth. Have you read the lyrics to that song, brother? You need to find a different song. Let me share with you what the lyrics of that song is. So you got to be careful. Little disclaimer. You got to be careful what song you have. This song says, when a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'll trade the world for a good thing he's found. If she is bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong. Careful. Turn his back on his best friend if he puts her down. When a man loves a woman, spend his very life, last dime. Amen. Amen to that. I'm just saying. Trying to hold on to what he has, he'd give up all his comforts and sleep out in the rain if she said that's the way it ought to be. No. I ain't sleeping in the rain. I'm not sleeping in the rain. I mean, I'll sleep on the couch, but I ain't going in the rain. I help pay the mortgage for the house. I'm not sleeping in the rain. So I'm just saying, you got to be careful. you got to be careful. And sometimes I sleep on the couch. Not because she makes me do. I fall asleep on the couch. I got one of those couches that the arm fits right in there just right, you know, but don't sleep on the couch, you know. So anyway, you just got to be careful. But what I'm saying is, some of us have got to hit the reset button. For some of us, you know, it's kind of, you're in a different place right now, and I can respect a disclaimer. It may not be a special day in this way because you ain't got that special somebody yet, and it's okay. Love yourself. We're going to talk about that. It all begins with that. Love yourself. I've had those seasons where, you know, I love myself. Send a Valentine to myself. Will you be my Valentine, Theron? Yes. All right. You know, so that's okay, though. That's okay. But I believe all of us are going to benefit from this. But here's what we need to know, understand. Some of us don't just need a new song. We need a new love story. Okay? We need a new love story. And we need a new definition and a new understanding of this thing called love. We need to hit the reset button on love. And listen to this. There's no better place to start than the origin of love, and that is God. Why not go to the one who started this? By the way, this is our idea. We didn't come up with this thing called love. The Bible says it's just something God does, but the Bible actually says that God is love. He is love. And so if he's the originator of this thing called love, then should we not look at him and understand really what love is? And the best place to go to understand that is found in John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, but it describes really what God and this love thing is all about. The origin of love is God. We're going to look to God and his love. We're going to look to him for the definition of this thing called love. This, again, this isn't something we came up with. The world is very confused about this topic. The world gets confused with between love and lust and love and me and convenience and compromise. They misunderstand this thing of relationship. There's a different understanding of love. And when you come into a relationship, one person may have a different background of what love means than the other person understands what love is. Each of us have different experiences that we bring into that relationship. And so I think we need to go to the Word of God and see really what God says about love. And God, listen to this. Here's the essence of this scripture. Look at this. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Put it this way. God so loved that He did something. So he didn't just leave it there, but he actually did something. The verb of the Bible is not love, but the verb of the Bible there is give or gave. God gave. God so loved the world that He gave his one and only Son. His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God so loved us so much that He gave His one, His only begotten Son. There's some things I want us to see as we look at this scripture to understand God's love. And write these down if you would. Number one, and that is that God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional. So it's absolute. It's unrelenting. It's steadfast. It's unfailing. It's not conditional. It doesn't matter what you did last night. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how bad of a shape you're in. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who He is. His love is unconditional. You don't have to meet a condition to merit God's love. You don't have to measure up to get God's love. You don't have to get your act together and have all your ducks in a row and everything lined up right and let me get this together and this in place and then I'll be able to receive God's love. God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional, and it's steadfast, and it's unfailing. Second thing we see is that God's love is sacrificial. He gave His Son. It cost Him something. It's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion, but it's sacrificial. The next thing we see is that God's love is personable. Personable. So it's not just a philosophy, it's not just an idea, it's not just a scent, it's not a fragrance. Come on, somebody. You ever see those commercials? They look like something that probably shouldn't even be on TV. And at the end of it, it's a fragrance. It's more than a fragrance, guys. It's personable. It's love manifested. And it's manifested specifically in the person of Jesus Christ. God demonstrated His love in that He gave us a person. His Son, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? It's Jesus, the person of Jesus. Jesus said, "If you see Me, you see the Father." I'm here to exemplify and demonstrate in person the Father and His love for you. I'm here to demonstrate My love for you in that while you are yet sinners, I'm going to die for you. Come on, to demonstrate My love to you. Come on, and it's personal. He's not some God way off in the stratosphere somewhere. He's a God that can sit by us and walk with us and talk with us day in and day out, right? Come on, 24/7. He's with us. He's personable. Amen. And the next thing we see is that God's love is acceptable. You can actually accept Him into your life. Come on, you say, "Well, I can't receive God's love because of the things I've done." And listen, yes, you can. God accepts you where you are and for who you are. Now He comes and He loves you where you are. Doesn't leave you where you are. He's there to help and take you to a better place that He's designed and created for your life. He knows what's best for you because, after all, He is the creator. He is the designer of your life, right? But He loves you and accepts you right where you are, and He receives you as you are. Some of us, again, we need to reset this love thing and understand. And you say, "Well, I cannot love." But when you accept God's love, when you realize He loves you, He gives you the capacity within you to be able to love. Right? Next thing we see is that God's love is accessible. So that means it's not just for the few, it's not just for the pretty, it's not just for the ones that's got nice clothes on and a nice hair and come on and just, you know, got it all going on. It's not just for the Hallmark Channel crowd, y'all. I'm just letting you know. I hate to refer to the Hallmark Channel so much, but you know what happens to be on in my house sometimes. I didn't turn the channel to it, I'm just saying. But my sons do walk through every now and then and say, Dad, you need to turn in your man card. But I'm just saying, it's not just for, His love is accessible, and that is, He said, whosoever will. It's for whosoever will, right? Whosoever will believe on Him shall have life, right? Shall experience His love, shall experience His transforming power. And the password to God's love is Jesus. Come on, He's the username and the password. When we come through Jesus, come on, it's accessible for us to receive God's love when we come through the person of Jesus Christ. You can say, well, how do we love? You know, for some of us, we don't know how to love. It's not been shown to us in our lives, in our homes, in our past. Our parents maybe weren't the right example of what love really should look like. And we look at the people around us and we see this perverted kind of thing that's just got all the wrong definition of what love is. And we really are searching. In fact, we might be searching in all the wrong places. What is it? Searching for love, looking for love in all the wrong places. And we need to come to God's Word. I want to give you this scripture that's found in 1 John chapter 4 that says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So if something happens in us, and then it enables us to be able to have the capacity to love others, right? And then verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, that's the key, and His love is made complete in us. Look at verse 16. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We love God. We love because He first loved us. He first loved us. And I just want to say this. The only way we have capacity to love others, get this. This is huge. This is huge. Everything rests on this. And that is that we receive God's love first. That's why when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. And then second to that is love others as yourself. Right? So God comes and He does a transforming work within us. And then what happens within us comes out through us. As one person said, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Right? What's down in there is going to splash out on other people. That's going to happen. And we cannot give what we have not received. So for many of us, we need to receive the love of God. Write this down. The secret of love is being loved by God. So where do I find love? The secret is our first step in love is loving God and receiving His love. You say, well, there's some people that are very, very difficult to love. You don't understand. I can't love them. I can't forgive them. I can't move towards them. I just can't. You don't understand my situation. It's very difficult, and I understand that. People are difficult. I get that. And you say, well, I can't. You're right, you can't, but He can. And so perhaps instead of moving towards them, trying to love them, maybe you need to move towards Him, and when you move towards Him, it'll help you to be able to love them. It allows you then to have this transformation happen, and you're able to see people not through your own natural eyes, not through common eyes, but through uncommon eyes, the eyes of Jesus, through the lens of God's love, and be able to have the capacity to love God. You need to be able to see through God's eyes. And can I just say also, we need to, Lord just kind of revealed this to me this morning, we need to be able to see God, see through God's eyes of ourselves. See, some of us look at ourselves and we say, I'm unlovable. I'm a mess. We look in the mirror and we say, man, I'm a failure. You wake up every morning and you just think, I'm a failure. And you have this inadequacy and this insufficiency that just takes over. And you just feel like you're second rate, and you don't have what it takes, and you're not enough, and you're insecure, and you see yourself based on that failure or whatever you did in the past or whatever mistakes or whatever yesterday looked like. You see yourself through that lens. Can I tell you, God Almighty sees you through the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the capacity for His greatness to be realized inside of you and work His work and power through you. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that today, that you need to be able to see yourself as God sees you. He doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you complete through the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, as you've come to accept Him as Lord of your life, and you believe upon Him as your Lord and Savior, and you're following Him. Listen, He sees you through what He can do in you and what He originally created you to be and do through His power. Amen. It's according to the power that works in us, right, that God does great things, right? It's His power. And He's able. So we need to be able to see that. I want to give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know I was going to go here. And I don't mean to be yelling, but I'm excited, okay? I'm a little bit enthusiastic about this series. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's the love chapter. It's the Mount Everest of love. We see it in weddings. I use it in every wedding I perform is this scripture. It's the love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and it's amazing. It says this, love is patient. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just glean from this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. What was the series we just came out of? It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wait a minute. We'll back up verse 5. We got to deal with that one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Why did he have to put that one in there? Because I got a list. Y'all got a list? Anybody got a list? I got a list. Keeps no record of wrongs. I got a list I can't let go of. Maybe instead of going to the list, we need to go to Him. And then we can go to them, right? Okay, move on. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Look at this one. Love never fails, never fails. Never fails. God's love. Now, my love may come up short. I may falter and fail. But God's love, we're talking about God's love. We're talking about the love of uncommon love, the love of God within us. The love of God never fails. When He sees an unlovable person, God runs to that person. He seeks out those that are lost and desperate and in a lonely place to put them in families. Come on. He's the one that reaches down to the unlovable. When we were unlovable, He went to the cross. While we were yet sinners, He still died for us. That's His love demonstrated. Man, I'm about to get happy and preach here if y'all don't watch out. Okay, I'm just saying. So the secret of love is found in being loved by God. But look this also, the secret of love is showing God's love to others. Showing God's love to others. Put it this way, showing God's uncommon love. So can we just get practical this morning? I want to get practical and give you some how-tos. Okay, how do we do that? How can we get practical, because I don't feel like doing it. Well, this isn't about feeling. This is about an action called love that God puts within us, and it becomes lived out through us. So I'm going to give you some real practicals. Number one, write this down, okay? Say it. Say it. Say these three most important words in a relationship. I love you. I love you. And the second, probably next two words that's important is forgive me. Because anyone you love, you'll have to forgive. Now think about it. Well, I want them to measure up and then I'll love them. No. God loves us when we're imperfect. He loved you and I when we were making mistakes and failing, and let's go ahead and call it sinning. Yeah, we talk about sin here, sin. Because we come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short. That's all of us. We're all in this thing together, okay? At best, we're all a mess, right? And God loves us in our mess, right? Doesn't leave us there, but picks us up, cleans us up, sets us on a firm foundation, establishes our steps and our going, gives us paths of peace to walk in, makes the crooked paths straight, come on, raises the low places and lowers the high places. Come on, that's when we live with Jesus. The load becomes lighter and the way becomes brighter because we're living with Him, right? We're following Him. You're going to have forgiveness. Love and forgiveness goes hand in hand. But listen to this. People need to hear it. It's amazing the positive things that happen when these three loves are when these three words are present. I love you. And it's also very negative and tragic when we see what happens when these words, I love you, are absent. So we need to say it. So we're going to practice right now. Everybody with me, come on, say this. Everybody say, I love you. Come on, let's say it together. I love you. Come on, let's do it again. I love you. That wasn't so hard, was it? And me standing up here, that felt really good. I felt a wave of love. It was great. I love you. Say it often. Parents, say it to your spouse. One spouse went in for counseling, and she said, he never tells me he loves me. And he said, and the counselor said, well, why do you not say I love you to your wife? I told her once. No, I don't think so. Say, I love you often. Say it to each other. Men need to hear it. Women need to hear it. We all need to hear it. Children need to hear it. Say it to your kids. Kids, say it to your parents. I love you. It's just three little words. But my, what powerful words they are. You need to say it. You can even say it to a friend. Now, you know, you may not want to go up to another guy and say, I love you. You know, bro it up. Yeah. Love you, man. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Yeah, man. You're the man. I mean, it's okay. Bro it up. That's fine. But share some love, right? We need it. I'm not going to sing the song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Okay. So, number two, write it. Write it. Write it. It's amazing how long things last when you write them down. Like, we still got, my wife and I still have a box with cards and letters and, you know, love letters and things. And you get cards from your parents, you know, that you got when you're 16. Some of you still got those. You know, when somebody gives you something, you don't just take it and throw it in the trash can. You know, you save it because it's value. You put it, look, you give me something, I'm going to put it on my refrigerator. I'm going to look at it. You know, that Christmas card is going to be there all year long. You know, for some of you, you give me your pictures. I love those because I put them on the refrigerator. They're there all year long because they add value. Come on, it's amazing what happens. So you can do it in letters. You can do it with texting. Come on, blow it up. I mean, just go into the emojis. I don't care. Use the emojis. Get crazy. I mean, now they got these emojis. Y'all tried it where you can press that extra little thing, put some fireworks on that thing, or take that heart. Don't just send the heart, but then the heart goes and it blows up across the screen. I mean, it's great. I love it. Just go all out, right? Use some emojis, you know, and write it. Number three, give it. And it doesn't have to be extravagant, you know. It doesn't have to be a Mercedes. Just, it could be small, little things. It's something where you say, you're so valuable that I took time out of my busy day to stop by the store and get some chocolate milk for you, because I know you like chocolate milk, and I just love you, and I care. I mean, I didn't have time to do that, but I took time because you're valuable. I went to Chick-fil-A, you know, and I picked you up this because, you know, I went to a restaurant or went to a store I don't even like, and I picked up pork rinds for you because I know you like pork rinds. I don't know, you know, whatever that looks like, but you're saying, I interrupted my day, and I went over to Cookout, and I got you some food. Many days, guys, you college students, y'all know where Cookout is. All the college students know where Cookout is. That's what I'm talking about, Cookout, right on the other side of campus. Many nights, I would get up in the middle of the night. My son was studying architecture across the street. Y'all don't look at him bad, but I'm just telling you what I did. Look at me good. Don't look at him bad. But I took some runs to Cookout, and I would stop over there between the garage parking lot there and the back of Soars, and I would bring him the Cookout with the strawberry milkshake. And I told him, anytime you need, because I know you're studying, and I'll get up, I'll be there for you, son. Anyway, I said, well, that's a little much. Now, you might be a parent with, he's a grown man. He can get his own. I mean, he's got two legs. He could go over and get his own. There's no sense in that. Listen, do something for somebody. I'm talking about uncommon love, right? Give it. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Number four, moving on. Forgive it. Forgive it. There's one. Listen, we'll never be more like Jesus than when we forgive. And you say, well, this is hard. Yes, it is hard, because people are difficult. And you say, well, I'm not one that's good at forgiving. Well, guess what? Probably a lot of us are in the same boat. But perhaps the first step is to step towards him and then them. Forgive it. Again, when you come to Christ, he gives you the capacity. We do not have it in ourselves. What I'm talking about is a transformation on the inside. Number five, live it. Live it. We need to pray this. God, help me to love the people in front of me. We need to take opportunities that we have every day to reset the love button. I think that's why small groups are so important. Why today, as we dismiss, we give you an opportunity to go through small group fair and be able to just peruse and get in, you know, talk to somebody, get in a relationship, hang out, man, spend time together. Don't just buzz in and buzz out. Come on, let's connect. Let's do life together. That's where real life is going to change. That's where everything's going to happen. And begin to live this thing out, and you're going to learn some things through small groups of uncommon love. Romans 12:15 says this, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's sharing others' joy. And weep with those who weep. That's sharing others' grief. So it's not about my feelings, what I feel like this, but rather it's about the obedience to this thing called love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13 says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Is love. And I just want to say this in closing. Life is short. Life is short. And that means that it's later than you think. Dwayne, come and help me here in closing. It's later than you think. William Shakespeare said this, better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. And if you don't like William Shakespeare, how about Dr. Seuss? He says, sometimes you'll never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. I heard the story several years of a couple many years ago that had been married for 63 years. My parents, they've been married, like I said, I don't know how many years. They're over that, I think. And this couple had been married for 36 years, and the husband had been very sick, and they had called in hospice, and he was it was near the end of his life, and he was there, bedridden. The family had been called in, and the family began to gather around him, and so this young pastor was pastoring his family this time. He walks in to that scene, and he said he'd never seen anything like it. He said the wife was actually up in bed with him. She was laying in bed with him. And they were kissing him, loving on him, and just the family was there just kissing his head, kissing his hand, saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the pastor walked out of the house with the wife, and she was telling him bye. And he said, you know, the pastor said, I know you love him, but you need to let him go. You need to be able to let him go. You've got to let him go. And her response to him was, she turned and she looked at him, the pastor, and she said, I just want one more day. I just want one more day to love him. You think about that. We never know when we have just one more day to love one another. I don't know, I heard that and it just moved me. It's later than we think. It's later than we think. Life is short. Life is short. In fact, I've got a funeral we're doing here at the service, here at the church next Sunday afternoon. I know we like to say great things when the person's passed away, but I would suggest we send the flowers while they're living. Come on. Send somebody flowers. Life is short. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for your love. I pray today that we would take a step toward you so that we could take a step toward others, because there's others that need to encounter your love that really have never experience your love in an uncommon way. They perhaps have heard of it from a distance, but they've never experienced it, God. May we experience you so others can experience you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to say, for many of us today, perhaps we're here and we just say, today's the day that I really need to receive God's love. I'm ready. I've heard this and I'm ready to accept Jesus in my heart. I need the capacity, because right now, it may be for some of you right now, there's a lot of tension and stress in relationships. Most stress, it seems, comes by way of relationships. And you need some relief. In fact, for some of us, we need some healing. I want to tell you, God can do that. And where it begins is simply opening our heart and accepting Him into our life. Opening up, receiving Him. So I want to lead in a prayer for those of you that are ready to just allow Him to come in and do a transforming work in your life and say, I'm ready to receive God's love. I'm going to give Him access. I invite Him to come in. I want to pray with you right where you're seated. And if that's you, you say, that's me, Pastor. When you pray, would you include me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand so I can see who I'm praying with? Yes. Good job. Yes. 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 I see it. Good job. Thank you. All right. Slip those hands down. Those watching online, I encourage you to join with us. Can I just lead you in a prayer from your heart? Just mean it. Everybody, would you help me pray out loud for support? Come on, just pray this. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for giving everything for me, for giving your life for me. Lord, I receive your love, and in return, I give you my love and my life. I surrender my life to you. I invite you to come into my heart. Heal me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And give me the capacity to love so I can make a difference. With all my heart, I give you my life, and I'm going to follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for every person who prayed that prayer. God, I thank you for every person, Lord God, that has now accepted accepted your gift of love. Now, God, Lord, your love covers a multitude of sins. Lord, your love heals us. God, your love lifts us. Your love transforms us, God. So, Lord, I thank you for your transforming power. I thank you for what you're doing in us and now what you're doing through us and for everything accomplished, God. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. Come on, can you help me congratulate several people for making the best decision of their life? Thank you, Lord, for your healing work today. Listen to me very carefully. For those of you that made a decision today, if you would just do me this favor, if you'd take out that connection card, and there's on that connection card, this is very important. It's very important. Indicate on there what decision you made. We'd love to send you a letter helping you with some of your next steps. Also, if you're new here today, you can take a moment just to fill this out while we're preparing to give in our worship and giving. And you can fill that out. We want to send you a letter. Again, thanking you for coming. Our ushers are coming. As you prepare to give, let me share a couple of things with you, and then we're going to have an opportunity for you to come and to pray. We're going to worship, and then we're going to get right into our small group kickoff here today. But I want to share with you, today is step one of our growth track. If you haven't been to our growth track, we encourage you. Today is the ideal day to start. We're going to spend just a moment in our small group, and then we'll get started shortly right after that. And it'll be over here on my left. We'll have a meal prepared for you. We'd love to have you come and be with us. It takes about an hour just to go through step one. It's going to be awesome. We'll share some things with you. And while we do some of the things we do around here, be very life-giving. I want to encourage you with that. Again, hope that you'll hang with us and be a part of our small group showcase today. And several things that are just happening that are just really exciting here at our church. I'm going to be sharing more with you next week. Some developments that I'm really going to be really excited to share with you regarding just some changes around here. And so you don't want to miss next week. Hope you'll be back with us next week. I want to encourage you with your giving, church, those that call this place home, with your tithes, your offering, that many of you give online. I just want to pray a blessing over this time of worship. Come on, let's stand together. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to worship with your gifts. In fact, this is a love offering to you. We have an opportunity to express in a tangible way to say, I love you, Lord. Lord, and therefore we declare, even in our area of finances, we declare that you are first. We put you first in every area of our life. So God, we give, Lord God, because we love you. We give cheerfully out of a cheerful heart that says, I love you, Jesus. Oh, may you bless these gifts. May you bless the giver. God, may your kingdom increase because of what we're doing. For everything, we give you all the credit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.